No,
hey,
no, I'm a police officer. Inspector Vanderbilt. I have a state police.
They're being called.
Ambulance?
That too. Not that he needs it.
You won't be able to free him, not without killing him. The girl's okay. Bit of a shock, but...
Yes.
Medical services will be here soon.
I've crashed.
Yes.
And I'm dying.
Yes.
Get rid of your name, Arsene.
We'll do our best.
My daughter, Miss Henry.
She's all right. Just a bit cut, that's all.
We all die. It wasn't hurt.
I'm a policeman. Can I take a message? Do anything for you?
No. Thank you. Be absolute for death.
Gun Before Butter by Nicholas Freeling, with Ian Hogg as Inspector Vandervolk and Sophie Thompson as Lucienne. Gun Before Butter.
Ah, measure for measure.
What?
Be absolute for death. Either death or life shall thereby be the sweeter.
Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Do you have a translation?
But there's a Russian one that's supposed to be good.
Very useful. I meant French.
Not up to much. Stick to Racine.
I'm damn sure the French is better than the Dutch.
That doesn't say much. The Dutch only read one play, The Merchant of Venice, and that only to learn about Venetian business methods.
Oh, do they? They don't.
I recognized the driver straight away. I'd seen his face on record sleeves. Arnulf Engelbert, conductor. Very good with Mahler. Fine style, rather like Balter.
Did he say anything else before?
No. He went into a quietness, then slipped away.
A pity.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll ever be able to enjoy those records of his again.
It was 6 months later that I heard the name of Lucien Engelbert again. I was standing around the police station looking for an excuse to avoid my paperwork when I overheard Agent Westdyke reading from his notebook.
Lucien Engelbert. What's that for a name? Belgian? She spoke Dutch, all right. It's not a Dutch name, huh?
You mean she can't be Dutch because she hasn't got a name like Kirke or some other farmyard sound?
As you say, Inspector. Anyway, she's been involved in a knifing in the Jordaan district.
Not fair, my taunting Agent Westdyke. Still, what the hell? Westdyke and the rest of them think I'm an oddball. And my superiors share that view, hence the jobs I'm given. Anybody with a funny name or involved in funny business, give it to Vanderbilt. Aliens, cranks, artists. Anything the Amsterdam police don't understand, they give it to me.
Well?
Your father spoke to me just before he died. He told me to be absolute for death.
It was a saying of his. What's that to do with you?
I helped pull you out of the wreck. No scars, I see.
You'd better come in.
Thank you.
Was he absolute for death?
Yes. He liked driving fast. He didn't want to die lying down, waiting for it. He wanted to die working.
I used to go to your father's concerts.
Do you drink?
Yes. But I'm afraid I have to talk a little business.
I suppose you must. White wine.
Yes.
She poured a glass of white wine. She had grace. A good hostess when she wanted to be. On the grand piano in the center of the room, there was a photograph of her father at work. Underneath was written,
Freischutzfien. Obviously, she'd been fond of her father.
Thanks. That's good. You know, we could have avoided this trouble. These things get magnified. They go down on paper and acquire unnatural importance.
I was insulted. The Italian boys I was with resented it. Is that a crime?
Insulted? You're too touchy, mademoiselle. It's not necessary. The Dutch boys were just trailing a coat for the Italians to step
they
on.
They use filthy language.
If you knew street boys better, you'd know their whole lives are spent trying to get even. I believe there was some play with a knife.
That Nino.
The officer will make a fuss over that knife, and the judge will take him seriously.
Those who do not approve can go and screw themselves.
Oh, how I agree. How often I've said the same.
Nobody can dictate to me who I go out with.
Nobody is. Is one of these photographs your mother?
No. They're all mistresses. I'm going to throw the lot out. They mean nothing to me.
Where is your mother?
In South America. Mexico, California, maybe. She has a U.S. visa. I don't care where she is.
Like that?
Like that.
Who does the housekeeping?
A Danish woman. Why do you want to know?
I need to know a little about you so I can handle the Italian boys. I'll see about getting them out of the concrete palace.
I don't want any favours.
If I went around doing favours, I'd soon be out of a job. Good wine. Thanks for the company.
Don't mention it.
It was over a year later before I saw Lucienne again. I'd been over to Amsterdam North on the ferry across the River Eye. Dirty work in the backyards of factories. She looked fine. Blonde hair, grey dress. Thinner. Better proportion. Her hair was different. No jewellery. No makeup.
Cigarettes?
First in a week.
Trying to give up?
No. I buy one packet for weekend. I'm poor now.
Do you mind that?
Of course I mind. Not having money makes you a slave. I don't hanker for things. But I hanker for enough to be a free woman. Can you understand that?
I understand.
She looked up at me for a moment. There seemed almost a kinship. She looked a little like me. Maybe that was the attraction. She could just be taken for my baby sister.
You work now?
I work for a man who knew father, Mr. Markovitz. He sells rare sheet music. I work in a shop on the Savardestraat. Better than a typist. I make enough to live, just.
But your father left you some money.
I sold everything in the flat, blew the lot, went round Europe for 6 months, did all the things I never would have done. Call it my expensive education.
A wealth of memories.
But back to this. How does it end?
Hello?
Mr. Vanderbalt?
Yeah.
I have been given your name, and since I need a police officer, I take the liberty of calling you.
Can you tell me the nature of your problem?
I should prefer not to on the telephone. Is it possible to ask for a quarter of an hour of your time?
Is it urgent?
I think you could call it so.
Well, your name and address?
Markiewicz, Safatistraat 700, a music shop.
I'll be with you in a quarter of an hour. Well, well.
I have been forced into a course of action I deplore. A customer has been to see me. He has been shortchanged twice. I have had other complaints of a similar nature. I have made those other shortages good. But this man, this last customer, insisted either I charge the girl or he will lay a formal complaint at the police bureau. Ah, Lucienne, why did you not steal from me?
I would not steal from you.
My poor girl, what you have done is worse. I asked her what I should do. Finally, she gave me your name, Inspector.
Why? Lucien, Because you thought I would understand. A charge is a thing written on paper. Paper understands nothing. A proce verbale is a formal action. It's like pressing an electric switch. It's the first stage in the judicial machinery which I cannot stop, alter, or influence once it's begun. If I'm instructed to make a charge, I make one. No, it has to be backed up by definite facts. Am I clear?
I will do no such thing. I refuse to prosecute the daughter of an old friend. I should not have asked you to come.
I'm only here as a person. I'm not a policeman until the switch is pressed.
You can leave and forget all of this.
Yes?
That would be a great kindness.
No, you gave your word to the customer. You told him I would be charged by the police.
Lucien, please, do not be foolish.
I am quite ready to be arrested.
Don't let's have any heroics, please.
Look, I...
Well, this decision is not yours.
If I...
Shut up, sit down, and keep quiet.
It is pleasant to have such cultured people in my office. Oh. Lucien, you have done wrong, but do not give way to emotion. An officer of police represents the apparatus of justice.
Oh, God.
Lucien, where are you going?
I am waiting for you, Inspector.
Lucien got more than her defiance deserved. She can't have made a good impression on the tribunal judge. Her lawyer made the right noises. Like a prostitute saying, darling. It did no good. The judge listened politely, then felt it was his duty to give Lucien 14 days. I saw her again after she was freed, walking in the street on a cold November day.
Hello!
Oh, hello!
Let's have a drink.
Do coppers drink with criminals?
I make a point of it.
I don't know.
We can't talk over a bicycle in a street. Let's go to Vinicol's. It's okay, policemen don't go there. It's too expensive.
All right.
I looked her over, as policemen do. She was nicely dressed. Stockings today, court shoes, lipstick, earrings.
Perno.
Oh, definitely.
Lipstick, I see.
It is necessary. Prison is contemptible.
I did warn you.
You did. I'm grateful.
I like your suit very much.
Yes. Castillo. You understand the name?
Only that it means a lot of money.
I had some money. The last of my father's. I've laid out very carefully, bought only classic clothes. I'm going to leave Amsterdam, go to Brussels. In Belgium or France, a girl can do any job without being stared at as if she was crazy. I can get a job as a service girl in a garage. I'm good with autos. You look at me. Nobody understands... What should I be now I've been in jail? A call girl?
No.
Who would believe I'm still a virgin? Me, a fallen woman who has been in jail. I don't care. I intend to be my own mistress. I won't kiss anyone's ass. Thanks for the drink.
It would be 2 years before I saw Lucienne again. During those 2 years, a few exciting things happened.
What?
Oh, morphine, smuggling, blackmail, some white slavery. All dull and nasty and inconclusive, nothing to reach the front page, nothing to catch the eye of one's superiors. Then the white Mercedes occurred. A plum job, I thought. What a fool I was. The Apollo line is a broad, quiet street, lined with quiet, rich houses. The abandoned car was a white Mercedes, the latest model. The coupe, a beautiful piece of machinery. White. In Holland, one does not have white cars. The car had been carelessly parked, a good 3 feet from the pavement, with its front wheels cocked arrogantly out into the roadway. It had a hurried, distracted look.
Why did someone throw away a car like that? As if it was an old rag. The white Mercedes had been left there for 24 hours with the keys still in the ignition. Either someone was very rich, very lordly, or was in a high emotional state.
Vauxhall?
Yes, sir. The house, the car, belongs to the house here.
Any sign of life inside?
No.
We'll take a look. See if we can't get in.
Garden needs work.
No open windows.
Solid doors.
Drain pipe?
No. No burglars. Nowhere for breaking and entering.
Give me a torch. Ah! Kitchen. Look!
Sir?
Window catch isn't quite down. Good. Here, hold this. That's just enough to get a blade in. Oh. Damn! Oh! No! Oh. Maybe,
Sir, should I?
No. Oh. Maybe something stronger than a knife in the boot of my car. Ah!
Sir, we're making a lot of noise.
So we are. Oh!
Sir!
Damn! God, that hurts! A fine bloody burglar I'd make.
Inside the house, there was silence. It was everywhere. I walked towards the living room, Vauxhall behind me. The house was clean. No smell of must. I turned on the light.
Oh.
Yes. The man lay half on a chair and half on the floor, face down. Head hanging. Limp as a thread of cotton.
Sir.
Steady on. We walked in here like farmers. We must tread lightly. Don't disturb the body.
Dead.
Stiff. It's the clothes that are limp. All right. You can go to the bureau. I want full emergency service, doctor, ambulance, and a wrecking crew. Photos, prints, stick and string boys, and a uniformed man to stand at the gate to keep people out. No filthy fingers on that car, either.
Move! Before the press get here.
Yes, sir.
While he was away, I looked upstairs. Nothing to identify him. I returned to the living room and stared at the body. He's been dead a while. Last night, probably. Car must be his. Can't see what killed him. Hanging upside down like that.
Sir, Inspector, I've told everyone. They'll be here as soon as they can.
I'm sure they will.
Now, can I do anything?
Yes. Is there an automat near here?
Yes. Two streets.
Good. Go and buy me a tube of peppermints.
All right.
This room is interesting. Plenty of money spent on it. That open hearth. A rich man's fancy. A long room with a long coffee table. Long enough to stand a coffin on. A studio couch. Oyster leather chairs. All supposed to look like part of a country house. On the long wall, a rather splashy looking picture. A brightener. Why not? A rich man lived here. But what had he done here? Two baccarat glasses by an ice bucket with a bottle of champagne poking out. Very few books. No sign of a wife or any woman come to that. No. Somehow it doesn't feel like a home.
Hello. What have we got here? Love nest?
Who knows?
Woman shot him.
I'm waiting for the doctor. Take your pictures.
Anything?
Suicide? Body on the bed?
Nothing. Not a bloody thing. Can you take a shot of that painting over there?
Sure.
It was a winter scene. A canal with bare trees and a little bridge. Houses behind and a shop on the corner. A picture I wouldn't have minded owning myself. The doctor arrived. All matter-of-fact efficiency.
Hey, you. Can't hear breath on. If you finish your snaps, give me a hand to turn the chap over.
All right.
Take hold of him and heave him over.
Stiff enough. Set him up like a deck chair.
So. Now, let's have a look.
Ah. The man hadn't been shot. In his chest, sent upwards between the ribs with either great luck or horrid efficiency, was a spring blade pocket knife.
Oh. No love nest story. No woman could do that.
Ah. Nice corpse. Congratulations.
How are your powder puffs doing? Any prints?
Plenty of them. Woman cleaner, I suppose. Potato peeling fingers. Man's probably his. No dark strangers yet. Okay to take him away, Inspector?
Make a collection of anything in his pockets before you do. Any prints on the knife might have been covered by the flow of blood, but do your best.
Sure, we'll try.
Neat. Bit too much blood for our delicate tastes, but neat.
Lucky thrust, maybe?
Yes. It's not that easy to knife someone.
Left ventricle from below, and down from close up. Died from that without any doubt. Okay. Report tomorrow.
The next day, I surveyed the small heap of the dead man's belongings. A plain gold Eterna watch in a black strap, no initial. A little silver penknife. An empty leather note case. A purse with small change, no initials anywhere. No checkbook, no letters, no cards. He's playing a game with me. Hide and seek? Why this passion for anonymity? I'd better stop this.
Rustenburg! Thought you'd be on to me. Last night's mystery with the white murk, yes?
Find out about the house, who it belongs to, and if there's a tenant. That should do it. There must be papers with the car. Check them.
Mm-hmm.
Ring me when you've got anything to go on. I'll be here, working on my report for the commissaris.
Will do.
I looked at the photograph of Meinhard Sturm on the desk before me. Stared at the eyes that had had a careful glint of artificial light added to them. They seemed to grin out at me. Why had this careful man been knifed?
Telex from Venlo, Inspector.
Oh, thanks. Venlo Bureau report subject Sturm known. Address follows. On the way to Tienrai, I took the main road south and passed Utrecht. Remembered the crash where Lucien's father had died. Lucien. I realized I hadn't seen her for a while, but then I wouldn't. She'd gone to Belgium. I'd hoped this cottage come shooting lodge buried deep in the woods would be something different to that stage set of a house in the Apollo line. I was not disappointed. Here, according to the telex, Sturm had lived for 10 anonymous years. I lit the oil lamp and wandered from room to room. There was a Napoleonic smell of horse sweat and leather and burnt powder. A Ruritanian atmosphere, intensely romantic. There were books, lots of them in the panelled living room. The lamp cast its glow, turning the room and my shadow into a painting by Rembrandt. In a large cupboard were Sturm's clothes, old and stained and good for a lifetime, all made in Germany, and a plain suit whose label said Mitzke, of Gartenstrasse, Düsseldorf. This was more like it. I smelled treasure.
and in the living room a little while later I found it in a corner cupboard that contained a new fishing rod and tackle. There was a neat stack of diaries next to a pair of well-used binoculars and a passport. Several stamps. German, Austrian, French. Stumm's age was given as 47. His place of birth, Maastricht. Profession, army officer, retired. The diaries were a disappointment. They were not personal diaries, but each represented a year's business. What business? T, B, BFR, VAL, VRE. Could they be people's names? And what did the rows of figures with weekly totals mean? Some in hundreds, others in thousands, and even tens of thousands. Where did all his money come from? Spying? No. Smuggling? Between Holland and Germany? No. There was a bunch of keys on a shelf. I took them to the light, sorted through them. They all seemed to have a domestic use, except one, a flat thing, like a key to a filing cabinet. But there was nothing like that here, or in the house in Amsterdam. No. This was a key to a safe deposit box, if ever I saw one. Forensic lifted the blood, but if there'd been fingerprints, they were obliterated. The car, too. No traceable prints.
You requested in your report that you be allowed to visit Dusseldorf. This I'll have to refer to the Procureur General. Matter of politics and expenses. You understand?
I do. While all this referral nonsense was going on, I decided to take the Breitner to an art dealer friend of mine in the Singel, Charles van Dysel.
Oh, morning, you sly bastard. I want to pick my brains again?
Just for 10 minutes. That should be more than enough. Through here.
Oh, I see. Is that the picture?
I thought it might be a Breitner.
Lovely thing. Lovely. Most extraordinary. What's it doing here? Man seems to have liked pictures of Amsterdam, but what's this doing here? Where the devil did he find it?
You think it's real?
Well, it has all Breitner's intense feelings for the city. Absolute essence. Look at it. It lives, breathes the air of Amsterdam in the 80s.
What would be its value?
If the museum accepted it as genuine, its value would be considerable. Look at it. Really very lovely. That's delightfully romantic. Would that fit in with your man?
Yes. I think that might describe him very well.
Should I ask around about his history?
Yes. If it's valuable, it could be sold to pay police expenses.
I'd be prepared to handle the sale.
I thought you might. I quite like Dusseldorf. The artificial bounce, the sad glitter, the noisy allure. It was a bit of a long shot, but a lot of his clothes have been bought here. I turned into the Graf Adolf and up to the Wilhelmplatz, parked across from the central station. 10 minutes later, I came out of the station and returned to the car carrying a suitcase taken from a luggage locker. It had been a gamble, but for once it had been the right one. Mr. Stumm had not used hotels. He had used the lavatory next to the rows of left luggage lockers. The suitcase held nothing but a complete change of clothes. Mr. Stumm had gone into the Hauptbahnhof in Dusseldorf to wash his hands and reappear 10 minutes later as a different man. But I'd thought that alias would be German, but I was wrong. He was a Belgian. In a leather briefcase lay his complete spare personality. A Belgian driving license, a Belgian passport, a crocodile wallet with money and papers, a silver cigarette case, and a new set of keys to unlock his new self. There was also a new hat. The new self was called Zera de Winter. He lived in Ennekem, was 44 years old,
had been born in Amsterdam and was by profession a hotelier. I remembered the report of another identification of Stumstrup de Winter at a place called Vulkenswald. It's there the firm of Wilhelm II makes cigars. It's a quiet little town on the Belgian border, deep in the south of Holland, in Brabant.
So you're Inspector van der Valk. My name is Roy Art. Please, take a chair. Coffee?
No.
Beer. Belgian beer.
Yes.
It was a comfortable, warm office. On the long wall hung a huge map of the frontier and the hinterland, marked with many little flags. There was something odd about those little flags. I got up to have a look. Each flag was the border control coupon of the Netherlands state dairy industry, the royal arms in blue and silver that is stamped on every packet of butter in Holland.
Butter smuggling.
Of course. I read in the papers.
Newspapers. Your beer.
Thanks. It was good. The Stella Artois.
Of course. Now, great quantities of butter are smuggled from Holland into Belgium.
Butter?
It's the difference in the retail price. It causes the Belgians and us a great deal of trouble. We're armed and can fire on anyone who tries to crash the barriers.
You have enough men?
Mobile brigades. We've put a lot of smugglers in hospital and sent their transport to the scrapyard. Round here is just a collection of back lanes. Rough country. My task is hopeless against the man who can just walk across the border with a bag of butter on his back. The locals can transport 1,000 kilos a week.
That's how it's done.
I've torn my hair out over who might be masterminding all this. Who arranges where the butter is hidden and who picks it up? I've suspected a man who comes down here fishing.
My not Stum had a fishing rod. Handled but never used. Yes.
I had a photograph and a file.
Where?
Here. That him?
Could be. Yes. It's him.
Ah. I've wondered about that one. You do when you're made a fool of. He knew the country round here. I could only think he'd been stationed here or been in the resistance during the war.
You've fitted my jigsaw together very well, Mr. Royart. I can now identify him positively. He used to slip over to Germany from Limburg all the time. I had disentangled him a bit, but you've put it all into place. Thank you.
Glad to be of service. Thank you for letting me know he won't bother me anymore. Another beer?
Oh, no. I must be on my way.
I'd reached the fork to the Chaussée de Gand, the other side of Brussels, when I noticed the petrol gauge and almost dipped to empty. There were lots of garages in the area. I pulled into the bay with operated pumps and windscreen wash. A girl in butcher blue overalls outlining a very pleasant bottom passed by the window. I wound the window down to request a receipt for the petrol and found myself staring at a tall blonde that looked familiar. I then realized the girl in the blue overalls was Lucien Engelbert.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
Oh, it's something that tied up with a job I'm doing.
Oh, how's Amsterdam? Built the Eye Tunnel yet?
Don't you read the papers?
French papers, sure. We aren't Flemish here. What do we care about your farmers' affairs?
You still eat our butter.
Thanks for nothing. I use olive oil and eat dry bread. Keep your stinking butter.
What was the word for her? Quixotic. Lucien, a helper in a garage. Well, why not? She'd mentioned the ambition the last time I'd seen her. The following day, I sifted through the reports on the case. A dreary business, page after page of rubbish, including the baron who thought Stum might have been a member of his regiment but couldn't remember now. To hell with Stum. I was sick of him, sick of banging my head against the same wall. The car, the picture, the champagne, the knife, the spare bed. I needed to know more, not about Stum, but Zirad.
Van der Valk?
That's you at last. Charles here. Listen, Are you still interested in that Breitner picture you showed me?
Sure.
What happened to it?
The man was a criminal defrauding the state. All properties liable to confiscation.
Ah, so the picture will be for sale.
I should think so.
Well, I want it, and I deserve it. I've done a tremendous piece of detection for you.
Yeah?
That picture was bought in Brussels.
Ah.
You don't sound surprised.
I'm never surprised. I'm a detective.
A colleague in the art trade recognized the photograph of the Breitner, remembered seeing it. He's a 17th century man, sneers at impressions, so he passed it by.
Where's he seen it?
A shop in a Brussels flea market. I whizzed over to ask him about it. The nasty, disagreeable pair who owned the shop couldn't remember, or said they couldn't remember who bought it. But I refused to be deterred. I even thought of
a listen,
crime.
You're killing me with all this. It was bought by a Belgian businessman called De Winter, who, oddly enough, is identical with our dead friend, Meinhard Stumm.
Now fall in it. It was bought by a woman.
Ah. Can they describe this woman?
Of course not. But I thought you'd be interested.
I certainly am, Charles.
Any books?
Certainly.
Good books, you know. Bit peppery. History of flagellation, that sort of thing.
You're from the police.
Oh, right. First guess.
What do you want?
I want to know all about the picture. Who bought it, exactly what she looked like.
You're a funny copper. French.
Tell me what you remember.
It was on his trade. It weren't stolen and it were never signalled.
You slipped up. It's worth money.
Then it's worth money to know where it went, isn't it?
Don't get funny. You could find your business closed down.
But we told that bloke with the funny Dutch accent.
Have you ever been prosecuted?
Never.
Should I check? You must remember every customer. You can't get that many. Now, for the last time, was she young or old? All right.
Oh, what's it matter now? She was young.
Dark or blonde?
Don't know.
Hat or scarf?
Oh, some sort of berry.
Then you saw her hair. Do you want trouble?
Blonde.
Height?
Maybe 175.
You're sure she was that tall?
Pretty near.
Age?
23, 24.
And what language did she speak? French?
Yes. Near as good as you.
Oh. What did she say?
What?
When she bought the picture.
She just pointed. She put the money on the counter.
How did you know she spoke French then?
Because the bitch took the picture, and on her way out, she said, "You didn't know it was a good one, did you?"
What clothes did she wear?
Red raincoat. I didn't see no more. You know, that picture didn't look much. I've made good money on pictures. It was in the window 2 days.
Would you recognise this woman?
No.
No.
How would I recognise her?
She spoke French a bit fancy.
Like you.
I left the shop, paused outside, and thought of tall blonde women. There was no evidence, just instinct. I was bound to obey this instinct. At last I had what Mr. Sampson called a moral certainty. Lucienne.
Some kind of police, then, and you're after her for something. What's she supposed to have done, huh?
Ask her.
What have you done? Anything? Anything you can prove?
No!
So you reckon I'm coming over and sort of quietly screwing it out of it? I know, cops. There's two kinds with two ways. Smacking everyone about, being tough, or being clever. You've got nothing definite. Or you'd come in here with a big mouth. You're coming quiet. So you've nothing to go on. Let's see your medal. Here. Dutch. You're on the authority to blow your nose in Belgium.
I can get it with a phone call.
You're on my premises. Questioning staff during working hours is my business. Tell me what this is about.
Ask her. She knows why I'm here.
Squash him, Bernard. He can't prove a thing.
Here's a card. I don't care for it or you. Out the door and keep going.
You bore me. Come on, miss. I don't need a riot squad to take you out of here. If you've 2 sous worth of courage, you'll walk out with me. Come, miss, let's go.
I saw the muscles tighten in the big man's face. His shoulder dropped and his big miner's fist came at me. I don't know why, but I didn't bother to avoid the punch. My ribs took most of it. His second blow hit me in the temple. I felt the wall smack into my back, numbing my shoulder. I felt myself sliding down the wall onto the floor. It must have looked like a scene out of a novel by Raymond Chandler. Bells rang, but not for dinner. Feet walked across the room. Lucien's moccasins. The big man's expensive handmade size 44s. Beautifully polished leather. Hard pointed toes. I tensed against a kick. Then hands lifted me, and 2 mechanics escorted me to my car.
On your way, Monsieur Le Fleur.
I started the motor, winced at my ribs, rubbed my forehead, and managed somehow to park the Volkswagen across the road from the garage forecourt. I was there 1 hour and 17 minutes. Then the car door opened, and the horn suit filled the whole space. The little car rocked on its springs as he leant inside.
Could you say to a quiet beer?
Oh, I've been thinking of nothing else for the last hour.
Your head all right?
Sure. A little tender, maybe.
I shouldn't have hit you.
No.
You take a good punch. Look, perhaps I better explain.
You don't have to.
You know, Lucienne, she won't let herself be touched, ever, ever, by a man. I mean, I got friendly in here 1 year ago and she cut my face.
It hardly shows.
No, but it counts. This guy who died, maybe he tried something on with her and she hit him too hard.
There's a man dead. He's got nothing to say. As long as she hasn't either, I don't know what happened. She over the border by now?
I didn't ask. I told her to stay away from borders. Probably a description will be posted there. I gave my little Porsche, told her to get the hell out of here. She didn't want to, but I said I'd talk to you.
Why?
Now, this is my idea, not hers. I don't know what's in there. 60,000-70,000 francs. I keep it here, my mad money. Small notes, not drawn from the bank, not traceable. Take that and let it go.
You love her?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm mad to marry her. My wife's dying. She could be dead by now. I haven't told Lucienne that.
I'd been offered small bribes, turned them down. Always wondered how I would respond to a large offering. I was quite surprised at the indifference I felt as I pushed the plastic wallet back across the desk.
I'll tell you something. It doesn't depend on money, on circumstances, it depends on her. I acted in this stupid way because I didn't know what else to do. She's not a criminal, I can't arrest her. I told her the truth, I can't prove a damn thing. I tell you the same. I don't know what she'll do, she has to realize herself and do whatever she feels she has to do.
Hell of a strange cop. Please don't take offense.
Everyone is strange. You, she. If nobody was, nobody'd get killed. I'll see you get your Porsche back.
As I neared the cottage at Tiernry, I could feel the tension claw at my stomach. Relief flooded through me.
when I saw the red Porsche parked in the clearing between the beech trees. Through the windows came the soft glow of oil lamps. She scarcely glanced at me when I came in. She had been dusting. She was a Dutch woman. Come death or disaster, the dusting gets done. I settled down in a chair by the fire, fully expecting to be told to lift my feet so that she could sweep under them.
I'm nearly finished. It is pleasant making coffee for a guest in my own house.
You are going to live here?
Not permanently. I'm not a country woman. No, the house in Amsterdam was bought for me, but I have lived here. This is my house in the woods.
I can understand.
You knew where to find me.
There wasn't anywhere else.
True.
Peace at last. But this coffee. So good.
It's the well water. Pure.
Yeah.
How did you arrive in Belgium?
Pure chance. The Breitner picture. If I hadn't got interested in that, I wouldn't have associated the woman who bought it with you.
What would have happened then?
The case would have been written off as one of the things for which there's no adequate explanation. It often happens.
There isn't any explanation, but I will tell you the story. Will you take notes? Make reports?
No. It will be between you and me.
Will it stay that way?
How can I say?
We'll take some Von Romani by the fire. By the way, were you here before?
Yes. I had some wine that time.
I noticed a bottle missing.
I drank it in this same place. I didn't know the chair opposite belonged to you. Thank you.
She settled herself opposite to me. Long limbs arranged casually, a glass of burgundy beside her. Silence everywhere. Like in Stumm's house in Amsterdam. Why had three sober people behaved like idiots over this girl? A Belgian garage owner, a Dutch policeman, and a Belgian-Dutch smuggler.
I told you I intended to come to Brussels and work. That Castillo suit you admired. I wore it when I walked into Bernard Toussaint's garage and asked for a job. He was doubtful at first, but I convinced him to let me have a trial for a month. I could do the work. I learned to service a car. But basically, I was a pretty girl with a petrol nozzle in her hands. There were problems with the boys in the garage. One or two tried it on. But a well-placed knee, an oily hand pushed into a leering face, and my fellow workers soon got the message. The customers liked me. The tips were good. Two or three I liked among the regulars. The green Opel, the big blue Fiat, and the boring black Peugeot. That came in most weeks for a quick refill and a wash. It was always dusty and muddy from long stretches of road. The owner was a neat, quiet man who, when he tipped, did so apologetically as if he knew that offering money was a form of insult. During that first year of work at the garage, there was only work and my small room. Every so often, I'd give myself treats. An expensive haircut, followed by an expensive meal, what, once a month. A day of luxury paid for by the tips. On one of these high days, my life changed.
Mademoiselle, would you permit a gentleman to join you? I excuse myself. We are today a little disorganized. He has no reservation, but we do not wish to disappoint him.
I don't mind.
I regret that I should disturb
you. You don't disturb me at all, monsieur.
Thank you, mademoiselle.
Would monsieur care to order?
Oysters. Monsieur Raphael and an entrecote bordelaise. Not too blue, plenty of marrow. A green salad, a few boiled potatoes, and a bottle of Auxerre, today the Irancy.
Of course, monsieur.
The Peugeot running well?
Certainly. It's a good workhorse, and, as you know, I get it well looked after. The book does not interest you, or
Have I broken your concentration?
I'm glad of an excuse to put it down.
What is your opinion of it? Or is it too early to say?
Well, I find it silly and disgusting, even if it is a prize winner.
I read it last week, and I must say I agree with your opinion. Go. I must admit, I like the French oysters better than I do the Zeelanders.
Oh, I like them all.
So do I. That was an affected remark, intended probably to impress you. Have a glass of wine.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm pleased to offer it to you, but it is really good. Tell me whether you like it.
Oh, it's perfect. But I'm no judge, I'm afraid.
Then you can have the pleasure of learning. It is important to learn about the things one enjoys so as to enjoy them more.
Yes, I love eating and drinking. I would like to learn.
Would you think it very impertinent if I asked you occasionally to be my guest? I'm often in Brussels, but I have no friends here.
He took me out 3 times in Brussels, at intervals of about a month. We drank a Tavel wine from Avignon, a yellowish strong Jura wine, and a very fine expensive Clos de Tarn. We had 3 bottles of this and became a bit drunk. We talked of everything. He was enchanted to know who my father had been.
I have his records.
Then he went quiet. I watched him stare for a long time into his glass.
Lucien, I would be happy if you came and stayed for a weekend as my guest. I live alone. You would mind that?
No, I live alone myself.
It is an odd house, the cottage. Very isolated. No electric light even.
How do you run your gramophone?
Oh, I'm most ingenious. I have an arrangement with car accumulators.
It's a deal.
You really live here? Oh, but it's just wonderful.
Oh.
He took me to the only bedroom. Everything was neat. New sheets on the bed. But where will you sleep?
On the settee. Oh, I often do. You won't have to worry about being invaded. I've had a lock put on that door.
Which was nice. I made it a point of honour not to lock it, but he never came near. I was enchanted by everything here. The well, the copper pot, his books, the silence, his motorbike.
Why the bike? You have so much transport.
I use it to get away on. It's handy for work. We'll go rides on it.
Will we?
It was the happiest weekend I'd spent since childhood. It was my childhood I was rediscovering. Wood smoke and the smell of the oil lamps, grass and moss covered in dew, the clean air of a beech wood. It was cold in the evenings and early mornings. On the Sunday morning, I crawled out of bed and found the living room humming with warmth and a note on the table. Gone for a walk until 8:15. Have a bath, if you like. There was a huge bucket filled with hot water. When he came back, I made coffee. We dipped rolls and listened to Mozart violin concertos on the gramophone.
The Bishop of Salzburg listened to them during dinner. Why shouldn't we enjoy them over breakfast?
Yes. After breakfast, we explored the woods. I learned why field mushrooms do not grow under trees, though toadstools do. Why rowan branches protect you against witches. The afternoon sun was high and bright. We lay soaked in sun and drank a bottle of white wine.
What I like so much about your house
is its independence.
That's why I took it. Nobody else wanted a cottage in the woods. People don't want independence.
No tradesmen, no neighbours. Oof, how I envy you.
There's always trade, business. To me, business means busybody. Whatever one does, there's always someone trying to organise it so as to make money out of it. Still, I'm free. Precarious, but free.
My father wanted to sail around the world.
Why didn't he?
Didn't have the nerve. On Monday, we went up the Maas, bypassing Liège, over to the valley of the Upper Meuse. He talked of history, his time in the war, the resistance. Some of the things my father told me when I was too stupid to listen. I said this to him.
I forget you were a child when these things happened.
Scarcely born. I am so much younger than you are.
Does it matter?
I don't think so.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
More than I can remember. Haven't you been bored?
You are, if I may say so, incapable of boring me.
I am very ordinary.
No, no. You have courage. Courage to fight the world. To be honest. I hope your honesty never brings you hurt, Lucien.
Call Phylos!
Thanks!
Hello. Oh, right. It's you. I thought I put you off for good. This weekend? Well, yeah, hold on. Bernard, this weekend? Saturday and Sunday?
Okay.
Oh, thanks. Yes. At the station, in the buffet, 8 o'clock. Don't worry. No. I'll just sit and wait. Yeah. Bye.
Got a lover, Luz?
Perhaps.
You sleeping with him?
No. How does that concern you?
It doesn't.
Yes, well, keep your curiosity at home, where it belongs.
Maybe I'm just happy to see you happy.
Ah! Netherlands, July. You're cold, my child. Change your skirt, quick, and we'll have some burgundy. I've a Von Romane, just the trick.
I'm not cold or wet, just happy.
Happy? Yes, you are, aren't you? Happy here. Happy to be with me. Drink.
Oh, good. Marvellous.
An excellent year.
Wonderful sounding name. Romani.
There's a legend, which may or may not be true, that when the Grand Army was on its way to Spain, the regiment saluted as they passed the Vougeot vineyard.
Oh, how lovely. I hope it's true.
I'm sure it is.
Why do you have to fly about on the bike on Fridays? Oh, I'm sorry. I have no right to ask.
No. I have no right to make you curious. I shouldn't have. But I was not able to resist the pleasure of seeing you.
Is it such a pleasure? For me it is, but for you?
A most unbiddable pleasure. To answer your question, you will approve of my work. I am a smuggler.
Oh! But that is wonderful!
No, it's not wonderful. It's most prosaic and not wonderful at all. I don't even do it myself. I pay others to do it for me. And it's not even anything interesting. Butter to Belgium, where the official price is double what it is here. It is not only illegal, it is mercenary, cynical, and quite deplorable. Still, life generally is all these things. I would myself greatly prefer diamonds. Unfortunately, I have no acquaintances in that business.
That's why you're good friends with head waiters.
Among a lot of other characters I don't greatly care for, yeah.
Oh, but I think that is just magnificent. That's why you use the bike. To cover the frontier. On Friday, you make your contacts, your dispositions.
Exactly.
The helmet, the goggles. I didn't recognize you. I wasn't meant to.
There must be no resemblance between the rider on the bike and the driver of the back Peugeot.
Please, may I go sometime with you?
Oh, but I'm merely a middleman. I do nothing exciting.
Just to see.
Well, just to see might be possible. It means lying very still for some time and not making a sound.
Mein Herzstum, you're a deep man.
So is everybody, if you study them.
You have a very important secret. You trust me with it.
If you give it away, Lucien, I shall lose everything I possess.
I will not give you away. I think you know that, or you would not have told me. You could have invited me here tomorrow. Why? Did you tell me the secret?
Because I love you. It's one of the things men do when they love women. They trust them with secrets.
I am happy that you love me. I love you. I have to tell you, a cow. I'm ashamed of that.
I love you exactly as you are. Now, you must go to bed. We must be up early in the morning.
The next day, we went out on the bike. I'd never gone really fast on a motorbike. I'd never eaten oysters in Tolan, nor gone to the furthest point of a seacoast to watch ships passing by. I'd also never been smuggling. I asked to go to the border. It was almost dark when we arrived. Meinhard pushed the bike out of sight amongst some bushes.
Wouldn't it be awful if we couldn't find it again?
We will. It's not the first time I've been around here. Come on.
Isn't it dangerous? Might we be seen?
No, no. When the border guards see a man and a woman going for a walk in the fields on a summer night, they don't think of smuggling.
We walked across the uneven ground. Brambles tugged at us. Suddenly, Meinhard pressed my arm. We crouched, kneeled, then lay flat amongst the wet brambles. I could hear the tramp of boots some 20 paces away on the pathway.
Come on. There's a friend who has seen us and the guards. We won't see him. Keep down.
My heart was up into my throat, trying to steal my breath. I turned into Meinhard's jacket to stifle my terror of this alien place. His arm came around me for comfort. Suddenly, it felt warm and safe.
What do the others do?
Which others?
The couples who come here.
They make love in the fields.
Then make love to me.
The act that followed was comic. Me struggling to get out of my clothes, his hands cold and wet from the bracken. When I put them against my breasts, it was ice on fire.
Forgive me. I'm shaking. Aren't they hard, like two guns pointing at you? If you hurt me, I don't care. If I cry out, put your hand over my mouth. I want to give and give and give.
It's all lies about the earth turning. The earth doesn't turn at all. You do.
Let me rest a second. No, I'm all right. How ridiculous I look. Everything up under my chin or tripping me up. This filthy fragment scratches like a lunatic. Ah! There are ants. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. It was beautiful. Beautiful. I am happy like a queen.
Lucien, I'm going to dress you. You'll get wet and cold. No, don't stand. You'll show against the skyline. Oh. If you crawl as far as the path, you'll be in shadow.
What is so coming?
He'd seen nothing he hasn't seen before.
Do you really know where to find the bike?
I do.
How wonderful.
You are made for love.
Made to love you.
Are we being foolish?
How can we be?
I don't want you to think I go about despoiling virgins.
You are welcome to this one.
Then began a crazy time when we acted like conspirators. We called it discretion. It was exciting. I would never see him in Brussels. In Holland, it was okay. We would meet at all sorts of exciting places where I would imagine that there were only smugglers, lovers, and poets present.
I was born in this town. I've never lived here, but I would like to.
I lived here once.
Would you like it again?
With you, yes.
Do you know that I wish to be respectable? That I wish to marry you?
Smugglers shouldn't marry.
Why?
They shouldn't kowtow to convention. They should be wild and free.
I would like to be married to you.
Why?
Why do you think?
Well, you like me. Mm-hmm. You enjoy me. Mm-hmm. But you love me.
I do.
What is it in me you love? I don't understand.
You are a woman made for action. Honest. Fanatically honest. That's what I love.
But that's what I love in you.
Then let's marry.
Married with a heap of brats.
I should like to start a new life. Stop flitting about. Stop going to Belgium. Live a life of calm. With my capital invested in good, safe shares.
Are you so rich? Not that I care a damn.
I've been making vast profits for years and years and never spending any of it.
Wonderful. Well, maybe I will marry you. Who knows? Hmm.
We could still escape to the cottage. By a yacht, perhaps.
Are you going to be one of those cunning bastards who can talk me into anything?
I would like to buy you a new auto. One that would suit you.
For me? A new car?
I'll find something suitable.
Why?
You should have something with speed and style.
Should I?
Yes. Lucien.
What?
I must admit a secret. I have had a home in Amsterdam for some time now. I've no more than camped in it. We'll live there, at my house.
Why didn't you tell me?
Do you want a man totally without secret? To make no move without asking you first?
Good God, no. I will enjoy seeing the house.
I will make it ready. I want a house that reminds me of you. I want to live where there are clothes that carry your form. A bed with your imprint. Glasses that reflect you.
I was happy. Happy in my body. Happy to be used and at peace. Oh, happy to be with a man I loved. I bought something for you.
Oh. It's beautiful.
I think it's a good one. I was taught something about pictures at home. It's a brightener. I found it in a junk shop in Brussels.
It's breathtaking.
Well, I wanted you to have it for your house. You said you wanted something I'd chosen. I'm so happy you like it.
Like it? It's magnificent. It quite takes the guilt off my little present to you.
What? What present?
Go and look out at the back.
Oh!
By the shed.
Outside, I found a new white Mercedes SE 220 Coupe. I tried the steering, felt the pedals under my feet, sniffed the soft blonde leather, gloated with professional rapture over the engine.
Does this mean I have to marry you?
Yes.
What a wonderful bride. Thank you.
It should do 180 on the autostrad.
I can't wait to try it.
We will. I have to attend to some tedious chores in Belgium for the next few weeks. Then you must come to Amsterdam to do some shopping for the house.
When you are ready. Have I really agreed to marry you?
With the help of a bribe.
Take it back, then.
Nope. It's all decided. No going back.
No, no.
A few days later, when I had returned to Brussels, something odd happened. I was buying cigarettes when a stranger approached me.
Good morning, mademoiselle.
Oh, good morning.
We haven't seen you in some time, oh, Monsieur de Winter. We miss him at the restaurant.
Monsieur de Winter? I don't understand.
No. Yes, my mistake. I do apologize.
He was there, the waiter at the restaurant where I'd first met Maynard. Why had he said de Winter? Out of curiosity, I looked in the phone book. Only two de Winters. One a gynecologist in Laeken. The other lived in Ixelles, a timber merchant. I would tease Maynard about that, say I had discovered one of his aliases. But then I changed my mind. The less I knew about his smuggling business, the better. I was still working at the garage. By now they knew I was to be married and wanted to celebrate by spending the next public holiday on a trip in a coach to a casino in Ostend. The idea was to toast my happiness at any watering places that took our fancy on the way. The first stop was at a cafe that Bernard recommended. It was in Ernichem. We settled down to drinks. Behind me were three young men playing cards and drinking beer. They wore fancy sweaters over evening trousers, assistant waiters at some local hotel. They reminded me of those Italian boys you arrested over that business with the knife. Strangely, these three were also Italian.
I play
You saw the new lover of La Mer de Winter?
Della Vecchia. I served them. Made me change two sauces.
Hey, Luce! Wake up!
Leave her alone. She's dreaming of a lover.
Shut up. I'm interested in something.
Still, most women would do the same if their husband was away all the time.
Answer again. Always the same when Giovanni gets.
I would not refuse a night with La Donna de Winter.
Luce! Luce, we want to move on.
It was a fine. You go on, Bernard. I'll catch you up. See you at the casino.
Okay. See you soon.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, madame. We are at your service.
I just wondered, the hotel where you work, is it far from here?
No, just down the road. Can we carry madame's luggage?
Oh, no. I have no luggage. I just stopped here for a coffee. Did I hear you speaking of Madame de Winter?
Oh, we did not mean any disrespect.
Oh, no. That doesn't matter. This Madame de Winter, she owns the hotel?
No.
Is that right?
No, that is monsieur. We do not see him very often.
Oh, except last month when she took a holiday. Then Monsieur took charge.
Last month? Now, I wonder if it is the de Winter I know. Mm. Middle-aged, brown hair, about your build, I think.
Yes, yes.
And blue eyes, very quiet, has a rather serious expression.
I see Madame knows him.
Well, yes, I think it must be the same man. And Madame de Winter... You find her beautiful, if not sympathetic.
A tartar. Tough as old boots, La Padrona.
Monsieur does not find her sympathetic either.
No?
No. He can't wait to drive away back to Germany.
Does he drive a black Peugeot?
Yes, he does.
I wonder, is there somewhere I can phone for a taxi, please?
Allow me, madame.
No, thank you. No, I can manage. I took myself away from their knowing looks. I had to see Meinhardt. All the way back to the cottage, I kept telling myself not to take the matter so seriously. To gain the attention of an attractive woman, they would invent any fantasy. I was wearing a silk two-piece suit, a wide coat, long gloves, high heels. All right for the trip to Ostend, but in the country lanes leading to the cottage, a ridiculous get-up. The place was locked up and deserted. His motorbike was in the shed. Then I saw the shiny new Mercedes waiting for me, I felt in my bag for the keys, found them next to something else. The cold heaviness of the knife I used for my work at the garage. We all had them to cut a frayed edge of cable, to scrape off tar or oil. Illegal, of course, a flick knife. It comforted me. I shoved it into my coat pocket, got in the car, and set out for the house in Amsterdam.
Come in, come in. What a pleasant surprise. I had no idea you were free.
We're all free. I was on a working outing. The others went in North End, but I decided to come here.
Oh, my poor child, you're frozen. Shivering, shaking. Look, look, I've lit a wood fire. Come and see mine. You look so nice. That coat suits you. Do you know, I've never seen you in court shoes. It's going to give me so much pleasure to discover new things about you. You look different. Ah, no lipstick. It makes you look paler, but even more beautiful. I've hung the brightener, but there's nothing else down in the house. Nothing arranged. One needs a woman for that.
Yes, you do, yes.
Have you picked up a chill?
Don't touch me.
You're overtired. I've nothing in the house except... yes, champagne. I've bought a dozen bottles. And one yesterday, rather good. But serve it in an ice bucket, see? Do the thing properly. Now, a drink that will banish those blues. Champagne is the only drink for that. Two or three glasses, then off to bed. That should settle you. Drink, please. That's it. Lucien, what is the matter?
I didn't come in to drink champagne, nor to go to bed. Who else is it for, that bed?
Are you jealous? What ideas have you got into your head?
Well, this trip to Ostend. We went in a coach from the garage to be together, to have a good time, celebrate my future happiness. We would stop anywhere we felt like for a drink. And we stopped in a village called Ernicham.
Go on. What next?
At a cafe, I overheard three waiters gossiping. I heard the name De Winter. I questioned them.
You've heard something discreditable about me?
Give me another glass.
Of course. This must have been a shock for you. But please, try and gain some perspective. I thought you were ill.
Just cold, God, I'm so cold. No more drink. I feel dizzy. Cold. Dizzy. God, I'm so tired.
I suppose you've seen Solange.
Oh. Solange. That's her name, is it?
She has good qualities. I do not wish to be unfair.
You married her.
I did. It was meaningless from the first day. It became a business partnership, nothing more.
You married her and you're still married to her.
Listen, Lucien, if you will. I will try to explain. I was not going to tell you until after we were married. You see, as you know me, I am not married to Solange. It must sound ridiculous, but it is so. Zera De Winter was to die.
I dislike explanations. My father always had explanations for his various women. I made up my mind to avoid them. No explanations, no complaints.
I had hoped to avoid hurting you. You must try to understand, Lucien.
I was Zera de Winter. I am no longer.
You are no longer. But 2 weeks ago, you were there with her. Oh, it's a long story. I can make explanations, too. I am my father's daughter, and you are your wife's husband. Oh, many thanks. But I do not want what belongs to another. I do not want cars, houses. I will not share men. I must go.
No, no, Lucia. No. You must not flounce out. You're more grown up than that. You know less than half the story.
I wish to go! Don't touch me! Don't put your hands on me!
I must, Lucia. I love you.
I walked straight out of the door. I didn't know that I had killed him. I only knew I had cut loose, cut the cord. That was all I intended. I had no thought of killing him, only of getting away. My glove was soaked in blood. I dumped it in a waste bin and cleaned the sleeve of my coat later.
Then resumed your work in the garage?
Yes. You have turned me inside out. If you have come to make me pay, I have nothing left to pay with. In killing him, I killed myself. Why did we stop in any camp?
Why did I stop at your garage for petrol? These things happen. Do you know where Strom's money is hidden? Is it here?
It's buried in a direct line from the well. Due south, you'll find a rowan tree. I think there was a great deal. And you trusted me with everything. Why you talked about his wife?
He was a different person. De Winter was married. Storm wasn't.
Are you taking me back to Amsterdam?
I have to take something back. The money will be enough. They don't care who killed Storm.
You're not arresting me.
What good would that do anyone? You're free to go anywhere. You'll never see me again. Go back to Bernard. Nobody knows anything about you. Stone's death is an enigma. Everybody's happy to keep it that way.
Including you?
Especially me. Now listen to me. There's one thing you must not do.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yes. Let's have no heroics, no big scene, no sacrifices. Let's not have any of that.
End of what?
Any ideas of killing yourself. You aren't a criminal or I'd arrest you. Now go. Get into that little Porsche and drive back to Brussels. And see to it that Bernard understands that I don't want to hear anything more about this. And drive carefully over the border. The guards are trigger happy at present.
Yes, I know.
Bernard offered me every penny he could raise to let you go. He's a widower now. Go to him. Meinhard Sturm put one lie on top of another until it caught up with him. He couldn't be honest with you. Not when it mattered. When it came to love, he didn't have the guts. He was a gangster and a hypocrite. Now get out of here. I'm sick of romance. I'm a policeman. I only like stories out of real life.
Thank you.
I sat at the table looking at an empty wine bottle and an empty chair. Then I heard the Porsche drive away at speed. I hoped she wouldn't do something stupid. I went to the window, saw a swirling mist. The red Porsche was gone. I felt empty as if I had lost someone too. Well, well, Van der Valk does not find the criminal, only his loot. I went out into the mist to look for a spade.
Stop! Stop or I fire!
Who knew no to stop at a border post? Don't you read the notices?
The mist makes the notices hard to see. I stopped in time, didn't I?
Only just. I could have shot you.
Yes, I know.
Papers.
Did you take me for a smuggler?
People who drive fast often are. We're tough on people who don't stop when it says stop.
I understand. I'll go more carefully.
It was late when I reached home. The back of my Volkswagen stuffed with Sturm's money. The lights were out. I let her sleep until I dropped the shoe.
Oh, what have you been doing?
Digging up treasure. It's all finished. I'll be home for dinner tomorrow. Please, God. What have you got?
I'm a real crumb.
Oh, I will enjoy that.
In Gun Before Butter by Nicholas Freeling, Van der Valk was played by Ian Hogg and Lucienne by Sophie Thompson. Meinart Stumm was Roger Hume. Arlette, Sonny Ormond. Bernard, Alan Devereux. Royard, David Fredrickson. Rustenburg, Richard Curnow. Markowitz, Paul Webster. Charles, Simon Carter. Vochel, Dominic Taylor. Junk shop owner, Jeff Searle. Border guard, David Van. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Gun Before Butter was dramatized for radio and was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin.